It's Friday, 28th of January. Welcome to episode 75 of Digital Outbox. And hello again. Joining me tonight is Chris. Evening, Chris.
Welcome along.
Welcome along indeed. I was going to introduce the podcast as the only podcast that listens to every quarterly result, so you don't have to.
Yes, we do seem to do a bit of reporting.
Yeah, we'll do that quickly tonight because it's Microsoft, and they've got hee-haw to say that we haven't covered already.
So all big figures beyond my imagination anyway, so.
Oh, Button Moon just came into my head there. Anyway, for some reason.
That's a good start random. To a tech podcast, Button Moon.
From Button Moon to Egypt's blocking the internet. So there's this is like the big breaking story over the last couple of days and certainly tonight. It's looking pretty grim over there right now. So there's a lot of political unrest. A lot of demonstrators trying to basically overthrow the government and President Hosni Mubarak. And through the week, Facebook and Twitter were first blocked. And a lot of people blamed, you know, Vodafone and they said it wasn't them. And then I think it was last night, basically the whole internet was blocked, which is a fairly serious turn of events.
And we've got a graph here. I guess this is showing this is showing megabits per second of internet usage going up, and then suddenly it falls off a cliff.
Yep.
Where I guess someone's flicked a switch. So there's general unrest in the region and spreading across. I think it's just Arabic states really. There's people generally unhappy with their leadership, and it's worrying that these countries have the ability just to turn off the internet. I didn't think that was possible.
I think, to be honest, all countries probably have the ability to do this.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty glad I live in one that probably wouldn't.
Do you think so?
Well, I don't know. That's why I sounded vague on that. There was no definite in my
I've got my V for Vendetta masks handy. I'm waiting. Hit the cobbles.
Yeah, get under the radar. It's worrying that this is a reaction this is the government reaction to it. It kind of probably shows why people aren't happy with them, to be honest.
I think it was summed up perfectly. Tim Bray, engineer at Google, tweeted, "I feel that as soon as the world can't use the net to watch, awful things will start happening."
Yeah, when you can't see what's going on, the true colours come out. But, you know, it's hard to judge. I mean, to be honest, I mean, Twitter's probably just have its fail well, and that's probably why it's too much traffic on their site. That's why they've dropped off the hill. But anyway, yeah, it's shouldn't make light of it, really. It's a serious situation.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a great article on GigaOme tonight from Bobby Johnson, which is explaining how they've done some investigation into how Egypt has managed to do this. And I mean, we'll put the graph up and we'll probably do it as a separate story just to show you some of this, but I think it'll probably link to everywhere tonight. And it's at the DNS level. They reckon that's the kind of area where they've got some controls in there. Because it's not just, it's all traffic to Egypt as well as getting chopped off, apart from, I think, their stock exchange was still available.
It's got to be at a very, very root level in order to be able to make a graph look like that. I mean, it literally drops off the planet.
It's interesting because in America right now, is it Lieberman? I think it's the guy's, is the senator's name, is wanting to introduce a bill which will give the president an internet switch.
So I think they've been talking about this for a while, but people are obviously resisting heavily.
Well, and you can see why. You
know, yeah, something. I mean, they're talking about giving them power for what they would consider the right reasons, I guess. I'm not sure what those reasons were now, but I'm sure they came up with a good one to stop spreads of harmful viruses and stuff if it's getting serious. But
But as you said, I think we'll live in a country that probably won't happen to us.
Well, not this dramatic a level. We subtly might have things removed without us knowing.
Speaking of things being removed, BBC Online. I've detailed their cuts.
Our beloved BBC, we knew this was coming, didn't we? And we've been hearing about this for a little while now. They've announced how they're going to make these savings.
Yes.
And if you're a fan of their digital radio stations that are kind of only digital, which are a lot of people are, but clearly not enough because they're chopping them. So One Extra, Five Live Sports Extra, Six Music, Seven Radio Seven are all going. I can't say I actually listen to any of them, which is probably one of the reasons why they've been chopped. Not just because I'm not listening to them, but just because I guess they're their least listened to services. They've had to make 25% cut basically, so they're losing a lot of staff as well. So they've 360 people have lost their jobs, which is a shame. I mean, this is a service that we've been lording over, and I'm proud of the service. I think it's well beaten.
Definitely.
They're going to switch off their Blast and the Switch and their Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy sites, their mini sites. And it looks like they're going to sort of consolidate everything down. So where they've got lots of top-level domains, they're going to chop them down. Why a BBC needs 400 top-level domains, I'm not too sure.
Well, and when I did a bit of digging into that because a lot of them are just for old series.
So they just protected them all.
Yeah, so you have like bbc.co.uk/ there was a series up here called Video Gaiden, which was like a Scottish video game show / comedy, and it finished
that classic combination.
It was fantastic.
Okay,
go and look up Video Gaiden. It is the best thing ever. And there's a whole lot of other ones like that. Old series from maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, that seemed to attract a headline like, oh, we're shutting these down, but I can't see them needing much maintenance, to be honest.
Now, I guess, if you're savvy, have a look what they're chopping off, because if it was a high high footfall site, I'm sure, in fact, someone would have already done it at the registrar level before we even get a chance to look at them.
What's interesting is a lot of the message boards are going to start closing down. There's a lot of the kind of community-based sites, which I was surprised at.
Yeah, because their radio's been pushing a heck of a lot recently about, getting people involved on the site. The integration between users and the sites have been pretty good, to be honest. So chopping them off. But again, I assume that they've done the review as far as these are the bits that are least used. But sometimes least used doesn't mean least useful.
No.
That was almost prophetic, wasn't it?
I know. I'm going to... That's a quote for the end of the year. That is the quote.
I'm proud of that one. But we've also seen that they're... Well, the initial headline was iPlayer's dropping radio stations, which sounded bizarre. A bit drastic and pretty upsetting, to be honest.
Last week we had the stat of just how much, I think it was 43% of iPlayer traffic is actually radio traffic.
So actually, but it doesn't mean that at all. They're actually going to now roll up radio into its own, delivery service. So I guess an iPlayer for radio. To me, it seems a bit silly saving money in some ways and then, massively spending, I imagine, to try and get this radio site off the ground. Yeah. But they're kind of saying that the needs of a radio audience are different from that of a TV audience. But I never saw anything wrong with being able to go to the iPlayer and searching and clicking play.
And saying that they're going to put all their kind of podcast content via this app as well. So whether it just becomes a more obvious app to use, I don't know.
I guess, and I think the other thing they're saying is that the audio is going to be available on any device, so any mobile device. So maybe that's what they realize they can't really do that for video, but for radio, they can certainly deliver that to the mobile networks and without too much hassle. So, seen as, say, I have a lot of faith in them and the people that run their online thing, I guess they've got their reasons and we'll be impressed, I'm sure.
And I actually think the rationalization down to this kind of 10 kind of top levels for the content, I actually think makes some sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is
a fragmented site.
It's massive when you actually look at everything that's there. But 10 seems plenty enough. Seems enough branches there for me.
Staying with the kind of websites, there's a couple of hacking stories that caught my one of them was it was an application called Trapster, which I don't know if we'd ever covered before or mentioned. It was one of the first kind of apps on the iPhone, and it allowed you to upload where speed cameras were, and you could have it running, and as you came up to the junction, it would tell you, by the way, speed camera, alert, alert. And actually, it's on Android, it's on all platforms, but their site got hacked and 10 million email addresses and passwords were stolen.
10 million.
Which is a fair old number.
And we wonder where all these spam messages come from.
Yes. So if you use a common password, get it changed, because the email addresses and passwords are out and about.
I still haven't done my reassessment. I shouldn't be saying this out loud, should I? I haven't done my password reading.
Let me just hit that torrent, which contains all the email addresses and passwords.
Yes. But I think we've had a message for the last, well, probably since the end of last year, which is, yeah, now is definitely a time to get your passwords in order. Whether you use, 1Pass or whatever the password storage, secure storage services are, or is it LastPass with the one we were talking about?
Yeah, so I mean, and over Christmas time, I spent a couple of days going through just resetting and changing passwords and coming up with a kind of ways of storing them that I'll remember. It was painful, just the amount of services. But I actually took the opportunity just to leave a lot of services as well. The services I'd signed up for and never used, and it's like, well, let's just ditch them.
Not a bad idea. I mean, we don't know necessarily that ditching them means that all your details are gone. That's the biggest problem, because you can never tell.
And what I was surprised at was how many sites would alert you that you'd changed your passwords and how many big name ones didn't. You know, I was changing, you know, secure details and I never got an email to come, you know, just so if you've been hacked, there's a good chance that you won't even know about it, which I thought was quite poor. And also, I took a look at LastPass, very, very good service, but didn't offer me anything, you know, over one password. You know, so I'm on the Mac, I'm happy with 1Password, it's syncing everywhere. If you've not got that option, LastPass is definitely it looks like a really good service. So use one of those. The one that really surprised me, Lush. So if you're, you know, Lush is that kind of chain of fancy soaps and soap bombs and all that kind of good stuff.
Soap, what's that?
Yeah, I can see you right now. I think you're allergic to it. Hipster, I think, is what they call it now.
Is that right?
Look.
There's definitely nothing hipster about me.
No. Lush had its site hacked, but they didn't tell anybody for 3 weeks. So if you've used Lush website between October 4th and January 20th, there is a good chance that your credit card might have been, details have been stolen and then used fraudulently.
I was going to say, not even stolen, but actually used. That's part of the story.
So the site was hacked on Christmas Day, but Lush only took their site down on January 21st. The reason they took 3 weeks was they wanted to investigate the hacker's intentions, which is just crazy.
No, what they wanted to do is keep it quiet until they had to let out, because otherwise they're not going to be able to sell anything.
Yes. And they've only decided to take action when they realise that the credit cards were getting used. So yes. I'd be pretty hacked off if I'd used it in November, December, but I would be raging if I'd used it, you know, in the last 3 weeks and they've known about they've been hacked and they're still obviously being hacked. You know, so I've not been able to do anything over the last 3 weeks to stop it.
Basically, if you've been told you're able to cancel your credit card, you know, it's not a big deal anymore to have your cards swapped over. That would have been enough time for them to probably give up, but 3 weeks is enough time to collect.
Shocking.
I mean, it's not like, okay, the site has been hacked and it's had stuff taken from it, and you can't be too upset with a site that's had that happen to them, because there are very clever people out there and it's very difficult. You know, it's just like if someone wants to shove a JCB through your front, you know, front of your shop, they can do it. It's not, you know, it's not a big deal.
Bit extreme.
But it's how you react to it.
I would run away. I said it's a bit extreme, and how I would react would be I'd run away.
But yeah, but you certainly wouldn't keep it quiet, would you?
Well, it'd be kind of hard. but their new website is similarly up and running now, but it's PayPal driven. Surprise, surprise.
Well, probably the credit card companies aren't very happy with them at the moment.
No. And
it must cost them a fortune. How to replace 10 million credit cards must... No, it's not insignificant.
Well, it's not 10 million. That was Trapster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there might only be three people that want soap in this country.
Actually bought soap.
Yeah. It's cold, you'll just roll about in the snow. moving on. our friends, ACS Law.
They're not our friends.
And, well, are they not? So if you can remember back, they were hacked last year. The ACS Law were representing seemingly some big players in the media industry, and they were sending thousands of letters to alleged file sharers and causing great upset because in amongst the there were people obviously downloading torrents illegally. There were some people accused who swore that they didn't and were very upset by the whole incident.
Basically, they said, give us 500 quid or we'll go to court and tell your family that you watch porn.
That was it. So, bizarrely, they turned up in court and said they're no longer chasing anybody. They've ceased all such work. And basically, they kind of related it back to this hack. So the solicitor in question was a guy called Andrew Crosley. I have ceased my work. I've been subject to criminal attack. My emails have been hacked. I have had death threats and bomb threats. It's a cause immense hassle to me and my family. But basically, the judge slated them because they were even struggling to get them to turn up. So an unholy mess.
Apparently, you know, people who receive these letters could have a case for harassment against them as well. I mean, I wouldn't
do it. Do it.
There may be a, you know, what do they call it? A something case.
Watershed.
I don't know. Let's forget about that word. Not worth it. Definitely not worth it now. But so you can't condone the fact that he did suffer some personal. Let's say death threats and bomb threats are never acceptable.
He was a cock. He deserved it. Get a grip.
The thing is, I want to say that. I just can't bring myself to say that. Because no one deserves that, but he is a cock. And it's quite nice that it hasn't turned out well.
Moving on. Google has begun censoring torrents.
Let's limit this down a little bit. They're not completely censoring it. They're stopping it from appearing in their autocomplete functionality.
But they've said for a while they were going to do this, and it's been a tactic as such, but it's been always the comments from sites like Pirate Bay and such. We're doing nothing different from Google. Search for this in Google, and you can find the same content. We're no different. But obviously they are very different. So they've only changed their kind of instant returns, haven't they?
Yes. So it's only to specific providers as well. So if you're BitTorrent RapidShare, you're getting censored. If you happen to be, let's have a look at some of the other ones.
Pirate Bay.
Pirate Bay's not. Yeah. So this is the whole, you get into censorship and all sorts of problems arise. We, you know, Apple suffered this when they censor their app store, and now you're saying how can you censor this kind of stuff and keep everything even? You just can't. It's impossible. No. So you have to make your mind up. Do you fully censor or do you let things go? Because the other thing is that BitTorrent file sharing is not illegal in of itself. It's a great technology. It's an amazing technology. It's used in many good ways, but unfortunately his biggest use is in dodgy fashion.
The one thing that's quite ironic, and I guess it just shows you the size of Google, but the BitTorrent client, I'm going to pronounce this wrongly, Xunlei, so that's Xunlei, is one of the clients that has had their keyword blocked. Google invested in them, so I think that just shows you the behemoth that is Google. They probably don't keeping up to date with everything. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But I mean, it came alongside I was just reading tonight, there was an algorithm change this week on the Google search. So this is to try and actually combat search spam, which has been getting a lot of press recently as well. And these kind of content farms, you do a search for a product, you do a search.
It's getting ridiculous. I mean, it's one of those things. It's an arms race between legitimate sites and non-legit sites, and it just gets stupid. You get to nuclear bombs, basically.
Well, it's just horrible. Search world. If you ask a question, a lot of these sites that come back with we've got the answer. They've not. They've just got a random, post about nothing.
It gets really frustrating. It's
horrible, and I do think it is an issue that they have to try and combat.
Yeah, definitely, but it's a hard one to combat because
I just want
an algorithm, you can play it.
Yeah, but I just want to block domains. Let me block it. I know you can do it via the command line. You can go into Google search and say minus. I can't remember the kind of what you're putting after your search. So you can say, you know, cut out, I don't know, E. Howard, whatever, or some of one of the other ones that are rubbish. But I'd love to, and I think they did it at one point. There was a, I'm trying to remember the name of the product. There was something Google brought out and you could be signed in and you could say, I don't want to see this content anymore. And you could hide it from your future searches.
So you're saying at Google have the, put somewhere, you know, a service, an opt-in that says, do you want to hide what we consider to be spam sites?
No, on the, one, as
I know you can do it manually, but you don't want to have, you know,
you can do it manually.
Everyone on the internet having to do it manually.
No, you can
surely
do it,
an opt-in service is good.
You can do it manually, and they used to have a service, and I think it's now hidden away, and I think they're talking about bringing it back, because the previous one was also on at a page level, so you'd have to constantly, you know, block millions of pages. And I think they're realizing now, I might not want to see content from Apple or whatever. Let me block that domain. If it's me that's running the search, let me control it.
What would your world be like if you couldn't see content from Apple?
Empty.
It would be. We wouldn't be talking now.
I'd need to buy a Windows machine. Or Chrome OS.
That, yeah. Yeah, because they're selling them by the bucket load at the moment, aren't they?
Yes. Speaking of sales, it's the quarterly results part of the show.
We need a jingle.
I need Bruce Forsyth, actually, to go with that jingle. I don't know why these random things are coming in my head. That's Button Moon and Bruce Forsyth.
It's the effect of having Henry here last week.
It's a diet brew.
That's what it is.
Too much diet brew. Amazon first. A couple of, I guess, important points. Their sales over the last quarter, immense. Their first 10 million quarter, and they're up 40% in last year. And I looked at them the last couple of years and thought they're not doing anything different. But
They're just a behemoth, though, aren't they? They're just unbelievable. I mean, we've talked about the last couple of weeks, all the other things that they tie in. But they're, you know, I mean, Apple do everything noisily when they, you know, in a controlled way, but they're quite noisy about what they do. Amazon just get on with it, don't they? They're there, they tick along. It's not about the big headlines they want. They just sell everything, and they are now a marketplace as well, and probably a very successful one.
Oh, definitely. And the other big milestone, and I think the last time we talked about this, we said when this happens, it is the tipping point. Mm-hmm. We talked, I think it was about the middle of last year, that the Kindle books were out selling hardbacks.
I think it was towards the end of last year. It's funny, isn't it? I don't think it was in the middle of last year.
Well, we should have been prepared and know exactly when it was.
We should know this stuff.
Yeah. But they've now said they're selling 115 Kindle books for every 100 paperbacks, and that's not including the free downloads. This is sales.
And that is bonkers and unbelievable, basically. That, I mean, we said when they said they'd outsold hardbacks, we thought, that's not such a big deal, you know. But outselling paperbacks, that's huge.
And the biggest stat for me is got me reading. I am actually reading a book on Kindle, not in the Kindle, but in Kindle software on the iPad.
I'm reading the latest Bill Bryce at the moment.
Fantastic.
And it's just because it's easy, and I wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't for the Kindle.
No, I wouldn't have went and bought. I've bought three or four books now, and I wouldn't have bought them paperback.
Nope.
So well done Amazon, Microsoft, what can I say?
Well, they sold shed loads of Kinects. Yep. You could say that, and you could say that they're selling shed loads of their office products, shed loads of Windows 7, and a little trough full of Windows Phone 7.
So I just liked, there was all these great stats about sales. Windows Phone 7, 100 new apps per day.
Is that all they said?
That's all, folks.
I mean, give them time with the phone. People that use them say they're okay, but they no. I mean, now is not a good time to buy a phone anyway, because there's too many big announcements. But now is probably definitely, is that
certain? Sounds like an Oasis track.
So yeah, I wouldn't be buying a Windows Phone 7 now.
You wouldn't buy one anyway. Come on.
No.
You get splinters in your backside.
It's either, no, for me, it's either Android or the new iPhone. I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, there's. I don't think there's any other choice.
I'd like to try a Windows Phone 7. If anyone wants to send me one to try out, be good.
Steve?
Maybe if you try one, it would be worth, you know, you might change my mind. But
I was chuckling last week. I saw the Steve Ballmer advert from advertising the first version of Windows. It's funny. We have to put that in the blog.
He hasn't really changed, has he?
No, but it's the $500.
Now he's in bloody charge.
$1,000? No. It's awful.
Yes. I remember, I have seen that, not very recently, but I remember having seen it before. It leaves a stamp. I certainly wouldn't put him in charge of one of the biggest companies in the world.
It left a stain. That's what it left.
that's a better word.
Yeah. You stained me, Steve Ballmer.
So did they actually give figures in their things? Because
they gave figures on Office, but I couldn't be bothered to put them in.
Fair enough.
Office is their best-selling Office yet. Windows 7 is their best-selling operating system yet.
So it's funny, isn't it? I've been slagging Microsoft now for a while, saying, you know, they just don't seem dynamic in that, but they are trundling along with their cash cows and away they go.
Kinect is making, you know, shedload of money for them in the entertainment division. I think it was pointed out that they've lost another $500 million in the last quarter in the online.
Really?
But they seem to be willing to lose that because they're making money, plenty of money everywhere else.
I wonder how many, I mean, they're saying they sold 8 million Kinects in 60 days. I'm just wondering, I imagine that's probably as much as they've probably not sold too many more than that. Because nothing really else has come out for it. So I'd be interested to see the figures afterwards.
It's whether it's got that, is it got that kind of traction now that you know, other people have got it and they just think, I'll just go and get it now. You know, it's, or you'll see a 20 quid off sale.
I'm sure that's the next thing that's coming, isn't it? Yeah. And in fact, I think I've seen one already on Amazon. I think it's already come down.
You'll get your next trough of games in kind of April time. And I think what's going to be more interesting is the games that are probably launched at E3 this year. Because
how they're going to use it.
Well, developers now know there's a massive, you know, base for them. You know,
there's 8 million of them.
Yeah, you can make a game and people will buy it.
And people desperate to buy a good game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Couple of UK Wi-Fi stories.
Yes.
Surprising ones.
Yes, seen as last, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, I was bemoaning the fact that no one's ever going to set up Wi-Fi networks.
and it's funny because when both were announced, I just thought of you.
Yeah. Me chuffing on about it. Shows O2, how much I know.
Well, precisely. O2 is rolling out free Wi-Fi for all, not just O2 users.
You do have to sell your soul a little bit, but not too
bad. Well, not much. So do you want to take us through what the plan is?
So basically, they are going to put 13,000 hotspots around the country.
What is a hotspot not?
What?
Oh.
I'm sorry, I don't... That sounds like something.
Mind. Yeah. Strike it lucky. Anyway.
That's because I don't watch that, or didn't watch it.
Yeah. You were probably swimming instead. Anyway.
anyway, so they're going to put these 13,000 hotspots around the country over the next 2 years. And basically that will give you free access. In return, you have got to give them your mobile phone number and confirm it, your device, effectively. And they are then allowed via using the fact that you're logging in or are nearby hotspots to send you targeted ads. So that's how they're going to make the money back. But effectively... they are offering you a free internet. They're blocking illegal stuff, but other than that, you are free to use it as you would like, which is very lax considering that they're liable for everything you do.
And they're not going to track usage. They're not going to track browsing habits.
It sounds perfect.
Mm.
Are you willing to give up your anonymity and location to O2 to get this?
Certainly to try it. I think the issue I would have is if I walked into an airport and I got, like, you know, 20 texts, you know, with a whole lot of different offers all at once.
I guess yes, and will that, you know, kind of how spammy will it get, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But it sounds but
then
like.
If it's sending you a text saying, you know, go to Costa Coffee today and you know, show them this barcode and get 20% off.
That is called win-win advertising, which advertisers have been going for a long time. I think O2 have just clocked on to the fact that they can make a killing here and be the first one to do it nationwide in the UK, because we are dismally light on hotspots and they are the future. So good for them. I would like to hear a little bit more about how they use all your locations and things like that, because they will be able to tell pretty much where you are whenever.
Absolutely. And I think that's why they have come out and says we're not going to track usage, you know, straight up. Instead of just saying we've got a free service and we us, they have actually put that in, because I think they obviously knew that people would be wondering straight away, well, you know, that's some database you're going to have, because you'll know who I am, you'll know what I buy, you know where I go, you know what adverts I accept. There's a whole load of information.
I wonder if they'll have a Google hard disk incident where they accidentally store a lot of this stuff.
And in some ways, it reminds me of the kind of store cards. You know, it's like store cards aren't there for discounts. Store cards are there for targeting, you know, the offers and making sure that they suck you in. It's and it has the potential to be the same. But
I wonder whether, I mean, 13,000 hotspots sounds like a lot, but when you spread it over the country,
it's not a lot.
And I wonder how powerful they're going to be, basically. And they'll just be in inner cities. They won't be out here. Be a shame. I'll have to sob and sigh again. But
well, you can always go to McDonald's.
Always go to McDonald's. Now that I could always go to McDonald's. I don't always go to McDonald's.
Oh, I'm not so sure. A couple of days later, during their quarterly results, which I'm not going to go into, announced they've bought the cloud.
So was the cloud an independent service before?
I always thought they were BT owned.
I thought they were owned by BT, but maybe they were just hopping on the back of them.
I think they just did deals. I think it obviously was just a deal with BT, and now BSkyB own it. So they're wanting to basically not open it up to everybody. They're using it as another, if you're a Sky customer, you'll be able
to. It's a string to their bow, basically, there.
Yes.
If you're part of their empire.
Yes.
It's another Wi-Fi story that I never saw coming. So now BSkyB, they will track you. They will look at your usage and they will store it all.
You don't know that.
And hold it against you. Come on.
You don't know that.
Come on. They look at everything else. They're going to look at that as well.
Oh, I've just got Empire Strikes Back music running through my head. I just want to play it now. I want a button.
A magic button.
Anytime. So next week when we're talking about the daily, which is getting announced next week, we'll have that as the background music. A couple of for all our stories as a theme here. Galaxy Pad, the good old Galaxy Pad, is taking a bit of a price drop.
Wasn't it around sort of 500, 600 quid before, something like that?
I thought it was about 500.
Yeah, so 500 quid, and now it's going down to 341 pounds and 24p to be precise.
Yes.
And the slightly more expensive one there, 359 pounds.
Yeah, so the first price was at Amazon.
There we go. So I should really know what I'm talking about. Anyway, no one knows whether this is because there's going to be an upgrade to the existing one or whether it's actually just trying to get it in line with what it should be. I mean, it's a very attractive price, that.
I think it's a bit of both. They've said today at their quarterly results that they've sold 2 million, but they're not confirming. That all they're saying is they've got out into the sales channel 2 million. So not actually confirming sales.
There's a bit of a trend on this front, isn't there? I guess they've sold it to trade and therefore they're happy.
Yep. They've dropped the price, but they've also confirmed they've got multiple tabs coming out in the next 3 to 6 months.
So they basically want to build this into a brand. I mean, it's getting good reviews. Consumers love it. It's now at a price that you can't really ignore. And potentially Honeycomb for a new version coming out soon.
Yeah, and initially I actually thought Honeycomb, certainly at CES, they said Honeycomb was only coming to those with the Quadra 2 chip. Is it a Quadra 2? Can't remember now. That sounds like a graphics card from 5 years ago. But they said it was only coming to those dual core chips. But we now know that there will be a version similar that can come to it. But there's some debate whether they'll actually deliver it. In the same way with all the Android kind of devices, it's all right saying it's out there. It's actually when your provider decides to send you.
Yes.
Bit of an issue. Speaking of Android, Honeycomb 3, or Android 3 Honeycomb, sorry, I should say. Yes. You can now download the SDK with the built-in system image, so you can actually play with it yourself.
if you so choose, yeah, and you want to install their environment, yeah, you can have a play around. I've not done so, but from the pictures, it looks pretty impressive.
And it looks like, I mean, Apple, I think, were very conservative when it came to the iPad compared to iPhone.
But I'm not sure. I think maybe that wasn't a bad idea for them.
I tend to agree, but I do think there is a market there for really taking advantage of the form factor. And I think Android's going to be...
I am a little bit worried that actually having all these, effectively making the tablet a bit more like a desktop, kind of takes away what's captured everyone's imagination about a tablet, maybe. But the overall look, it looks like they've got it sorted. You know, it looks like it's just that step above what iOS is doing. Just again a little bit more geeky, probably.
I think so, a
bit more customizable, a bit more, you can, you know, a bit more power there at your request.
Oh, definitely. And I think a lot more customizability. You know, you can, if you want to go and change, you know, what it does, you can do it. You need to basically jailbreak to go and do that on an iOS device. And I think they've actually focused a lot on the UI, which I'm not saying Android was ugly. But I just feel always when I looked at it, it just felt a bit, Linuxy. You know what I mean? I don't mean that. It just didn't look as solid.
Like they'd made this good product, but they hadn't got the designers on board to actually put nice icons on top of it.
And now basically. it looks the UI. I think I look at the honeycomb screenshots. I just think it looks gorgeous. I really do think it's nice.
I mean, it's interesting though that they didn't. You know, you would have thought they'd been trying to. Desperately to get a version out at CES that was fully fledged, but they kept that very under wraps, really. They didn't really let anyone see it or play with it too much. So clearly it's not ready yet, and they have learned their lesson releasing things too early to the tech community, because even, you know, you can't tell podcasters and people like us that something is in development, because we just look at it and think, well, it's rubbish, I'm never going to look at that again. So I think they've learned their lesson to hold on to these things until they are ready. Which is probably definitely a good lesson to learn.
Yes. Now on to one of my favourite apps. RunKeeper Pro. We'd said a couple of weeks ago it was now free for the month of January. So I think it was originally $9.99, or I think £6, £5.99 I think it was in good old UK pounds. RunKeeper announced this week that they're so pleased with the amount of downloads and the change they're seeing in actual getting users onto their site and buying other bits, because you can buy Elite and all that.
I was going to say, they're happy with the fact they're getting more advertising revenue and people are buying stuff off it.
Oh, yeah. But they're now free for life.
Yeah. So they've realised that you know, it's not about selling your app up front. I guess that helps to start with.
Yeah, and you know, they've got a lot of good press. I mean, I'm just looking at just trying to read through the stats. 3 million users had downloaded a RunKeeper app over the past 2 years, but 1 million of them were actually in the last a single week in January.
And I wonder if that million people, just like me, have extensively used RunKeeper for logging absolutely nothing.
Maybe. But still,
They've got my details. They're happy.
I really like the app, and one of the things I always dismissed was this thing called Street Team, and so that was basically adding on your friends so that you can see what they're doing, they can see what you're doing, and you've got controls over it, so if you don't want to share it, you don't have to. And it's that, I mean, I've added, you know, our good friend Brian's added in there, and it's actually, you know, I can see when he's doing things, I'm like, oh, but he always makes an effort, I need to go and do something.
And he is at the moment, isn't he? He's always out doing something. Is he practicing for a ride that he's going to go on or something? I'm not sure.
He's
out walking
He's doing some crazy nonsense down in London.
Yeah, so I guess he's got the fear up him and he's
It's kept me motivated on some dark and painful days. It's like, hold on, get a grip, do something. So I think you've added you into the Street Team tonight.
Yeah, so now I'm going to be guilted into actually doing something, or at least pretending I'm doing something.
Yes.
I'll put my phone on a bus or something and just leave it and pick it up in the evening.
Or you could just go on a bus.
I've done a 45-mile round trip.
Oh, you could go on the bus as well. You don't have to leave your phone there and just say, steal me.
I'll stay attached to my phone, yeah.
Our final double story. I think RunKeeper was our only single one. I should have clocked that as we were going through it. Sony have some PlayStation-related announcements this week. So the first one, which was a bit of a surprise, was a PlayStation Suite.
PlayStation Suite? What's that?
It's basically it's going to it's a store and emulating an emulator, sorry, for Android devices.
Which is a really interesting direction, I thought.
Well,
so they're effectively an Android store and a way of getting games onto Android devices.
And not at first, I think the whoever was presenting, I think it was like the president of the, you know, of the PlayStation or whatever was doing these stuff, and he'd mentioned it was going to be PSP games, but it's actually PS1 titles. So there'll be some really good games coming out for Android.
Shows how powerful mobile phones are.
Yep, definitely. The only restriction, it needs Android 2.3. But that's over the course of the next 6 months.
By the time this all gets out in the world,
exactly.
It's not
going to
be a problem.
Exactly. So that was a really interesting switch from them.
It really was an interesting direction. They've kind of realised that they can't produce the hardware and get the software out there, but if they can go for Android, they've got a massive platform on which to release on.
And they also announced a new console.
Which no one, well, I guess people were talking about it, but didn't expect to see it so fleshed out, I guess.
No, and people were talking about a kind of phone come, you know, PSP.
Which I'm sure is still in...
Oh, no, that's announced as well, but it's just not as powerful as the next PSP.
Which is called the NGP.
Yes.
Or codenamed NGP, I should say.
Yes.
Looks like a snazzy bit of hardware going on. This is... if you imagine a massive HTC Desire with a, you know, its 5-inch screen, add a few controls on, like I've been saying, it's got everything else about it. It's just like a phone, effectively. We'll come on to the added bits, but it hasn't got a phone in it, which just seems a bit silly. But it's got dual thumbsticks.
I was going to say, but it looks like a PSP.
Yeah, it does look like a PSP. You're right. But then PSPs aren't that dissimilar from phones.
No.
Except for they're big.
Yeah.
Where am I going? I don't know where I'm going.
I don't know.
What I'm saying is they might as well have just shoved a bloody phone in it, I think.
That's the bit I was surprised at. But the specs themselves, when it's got a quad-core chip in it.
It's an impressive-looking kit. It's touch screen, but it's also got touch on the back. There's a touch pad on the back.
Just as you're seeing the screen, I mean, it's an OLED screen, and it's 960 by 544 resolution. So damn high-resolution screen.
I mean, that's bigger than a lot of people have on their main computer. Ridiculously.
As you said, it's got the dual analog sticks. Not these little nubs, but actual proper analog sticks. 3G, Wi-Fi, GPS.
So, yeah, and you've got your accelerometer, gyroscope, all the kind of things we expect in our phones now.
Electronic compass, cameras front and back.
Sounds like the specs. But they showed it in action. Looks very impressive, and obviously having the touch on the back and the front led to some interesting types, you know, way of working and pretty sophisticated interaction with this thing that can sense, you know, its angle, its position in space, where it is in the world. It's got cameras so it can see the world, can add stuff onto it, so it, you know, and you can push it from all angles. One thing I did think is typical Sony, it didn't look particularly comfortable to work with. I don't know if it's because he was exaggerating movements. I assume it was.
I think so.
With how he was holding it and things.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see how they actually end up using it in games. But as a technical demonstration, it was very good. They even had Metal Gear Solid 4 running.
Yes, because
the PS3 version.
Well, they'd said during the thing, like, this has got the power of a PS3 in, and we'll deliver PS3-like graphics, and you're like,
Like you were going to run Pixar movies off of your...
Yes. But they pulled a cutscene from Metal Gear Solid 4 from the PS3, and it ran at 20 frames per second.
We have no idea whether that was a video, but nevertheless, that's what they said.
Yes.
Not to be unbelieved, I guess.
No, and... It actually looks a very, very nice device.
I think the device is amazing. I think the interface idea is brilliant. I think the fact that they're not using UMD, although they haven't said what they're going to replace it with, is a good idea.
No, there's a little flash slot, and there's a proprietary flash slot as well.
Proprietary flash.
And you're just like, get a grip.
So all looks fantastic and brilliant. Right up until the fact that it's a handheld gaming device, and I think they're running out of steam when mobiles and their, you know, they did say their the PlayStation Suite will run on it, didn't they? So all the games that they're releasing on this new platform will get onto this device as well. But just feels, I don't know, that people don't have them anymore like they used to.
And I just don't see what it's doing different. I mean, it's like better graphics, but what are you doing different? What are you bringing that is going to make me want to buy this? And I just didn't see it.
Nope. I'd love to see one, to use one, to interact with one, to play game on one every now and again. But I don't. I'm not going to spend. Now this is going to cost serious money.
Yes.
That's not going to come in. I reckon £600. You reckon? Is that too much?
300.
What was the old one? The top spec.
Oh, I imported it, so I can't remember.
Okay, 600 is probably a bit over the top, but actually, I reckon the hardware might cost that much. They'll just subsidise it. I'm thinking.
And I think that's the difference. I don't think it's just an age thing, now that I'm getting elderly and grey-haired. If I didn't have the iPhone, I'd be looking at this and thinking, ooh, I might import this, or I might get it, or I might do something to it. Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. And I just think, no, I'm quite happy with games on the
gaming.
Phone.
Handheld gaming has always been about quick fix. They've always been short bursts. While, you know, used to be when you got on the bus or you were traveling somewhere or you're in the car or whatever. And maybe if you're a family and do a lot of traveling, it would be useful to have something like this in the car in the back. But these games are not quick fix games. They're going to cost £40 probably, just like a normal game. And I don't think people like to consume their games like that anymore.
No. You know? I think the one difference it could do, if it is as powerful as they say, could this be the first time you could play a game on your PS3 and then continue playing the same game, you know, out and about?
I still don't
think that will happen, because it's coming out mid-cycle. You know, it's going to come out now, and in 3 years' time it'll be a PS4 or it'll be something different, and will it work with that? And it will have graphics that will blow everything away. So it's...
What they have said is it's going to be out this Christmas, which is pretty impressive.
All they said is out in 2011, and then they confirmed today they hope to have it out in at least one territory this year.
Right, okay.
Which makes me think...
Won't be Europe or America.
it makes me think they're doing well if they can get it out in the Far East for Christmas.
Yeah.
But who knows? Okay.
But that's still pretty impressive, because, you know, we've not really heard anything about it until this second, so that's a, you know, pretty good of them to keep it under wraps, really.
Indeed. That's our news. Now into the most exciting part of the show. Drum roll, please.
Something like that.
Yeah. I'll do my pick first, because it's cheap. It's cheap. It's another Mac Store pick, but it's actually a well-established app, and it's one I've mentioned before for the iPad. It's Sketchbook Express from Autodesk. So on the iPad, it's a touch screen sketch, pick some nice simple tools, and you can draw away to your heart's content. And if you're good at drawing, some of the drawings you can create are amazing. And if you're not good at drawing like me, it's just handy just to be able to get, you know, quick idea up and some colours and something like that and show somebody it, and it all works well. It's, as I said, it's free from the App Store. The really nice thing is it supports tablets. So you can, if you've got a Bamboo or one of their Wacom tablets, you've got nice pressure sensitivity. It's got some nice easy controls. I think it only supports 6 layers on the Express version. But for me, not being into art, it's enough just to do some quick mock-ups. And it just, it's a really, really nice app for free. There's a pro version, which at launch was £20 instead of the usual £44.99, which has a lot more export options, layers, some extra tools. And I think if you're into, you know, if you're an artist, it's a great, great app. And then Autodesk today had said that the App Store had doubled their sales, even though it's been out for, I think, a year. Just in this 20-day period, it's actually amazing, doubled their sales. So it's, well, I actually meant to, just when you said amazing, Microsoft said today they've not ruled out putting Office on the Mac App Store. And I think the fact that they've actually said we're considering it is a big, big step.
That is amazing. I don't think a couple of years ago they'd even considered that.
They would have just said flat out, no.
They would have said, well, we'll run our own app store.
We've got our own channels. If you want to come and buy it, you come and buy it. So for them to turn around and even say that they're considering the app store as an option. And I just think, you know, if you've got Autodesk obviously supporting it. If Microsoft did actually put Office on it, does that just leave Adobe as one of the last kind of big, big companies to maybe not do it? And I guess I can never see them doing it. It's just too big a cut. You know, just a piece of software.
It's not just about the cut. It's about the pain between them and Apple as well.
Anyway, that's by the by. Sketchbook Express. Now, if you're on a Mac, highly recommend it.
There you go.
Chris, your pick.
My pick this week, I got at Christmas a flash for my D90, my Nikon D90. And I am going to recommend it as a flash. I mean, it's my first proper flash that I've had, but this is it's a very compact little unit. It's called the SP400, the Speedlight 400. And it comes in about £100, I think. But compared to your big full-size flash, it's about just the top end of it, really. But because it's so small, it's dead light and it's dead easy to use, as you might expect. It's not got any particular settings. You turn it on, it works with your Nikon camera, you know, in sync with it, and works it all out for itself. And you can bounce light vertically, so it's got different angles of the flash that you can have. So I think there's three different settings. There's vertically bouncing upwards, there's 45 degrees, and there's a couple of little notches in between. And if you haven't ever tried a proper flash on a camera, you'll be amazed at the difference it makes to indoor photos specifically. But I've had this recommended to me by a number of people, and also people who know a lot more about photography than me have also said that in the long run, you'll just enjoy having a small device rather than a whopping great one, which, okay, it might give you a couple more features, but in reality, you'll never use them. The one downside to it is that it doesn't, can't bounce light sideways. So if you're in a place where you haven't got anything to bounce a light off vertically, you have to use some manipulation, whether it be, little pieces of paper or some sheeting or something to bounce it off. That's what you have to do. So it's a bit more painful if you haven't got a vertical surface, but most people, wherever you're taking photos, it does. So brilliant little bit of kit. Comes a little storage pouch, which is good as well. But good value, and I would recommend it.
Great pick. I know Shaq was right into his flash for his Nikons as well. And it's something
you haven't got a flash yet, have you?
No, I've not explored that side of
things. Have a go with it. It's amazing the difference.
Okay, Obi-Wan. Thanks for that. And that's us for this week. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to visit the website. We're on digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. We'd also love you to visit iTunes. Find us, rate us highly, and leave some comments, because it just helps us along.
It helps us more than you can imagine. It makes our days light. We put a skip in our step and makes us eternally grateful, and makes the world just a bit nicer.
And might bring the internet back in Egypt.
You never know. It's you never worth know. A try.
Exactly. To find out more about me, I am on Twitter, Sweeper, and my blog is END.net. Chris, where can we find you?
I am on Twitter as CheesyUK.
And that's us. Thanks for listening, and join us again soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I can't get my flash back on my camera.
I did wonder what you were doing. Because there was bits that I wanted to stop, and I realised that you were kind of like, oh, I'm going to have to kind of keep going and just a little bit longer. There it is back.
I would have reacted. It would be fine. I've managed it now. I've done it. It's back.
Great.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yes.
I've kind of said that's good now, so we've got to chop this bit out.
No, I keep that kind of self-praise bit in, because nobody else praises us.
Yeah, iTunes and rate us well.
Do you know, speaking of photos, do you know there's only one web designer left looking after Flickr now?
One web designer?
Yeah. We used to have a team of designers, they're now down to one.
Well, they chopped so many jobs and stuff, didn't they? It's a shame, really.
No.
I hope Flickr doesn't end, because that's one of their success stories.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wish Google. I even wish Microsoft would buy it. Somebody buy it.
Yeah, someone make sure it stays because it's a service we love.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Because none of the other ones are right. The other ones are either more expensive and more geared towards like pro photography guys, and they don't have the grips and all that, or they don't, or they're kind of a bit lower end.
There's, I mean, Smug Mug looks great and stuff, but it's meant for your portfolio rather than just storage and sharing.
And that's not me. It's just Flickr fills that hole, and there's not many others like it.
I think we should end there. Flickr fills a hole.
Yeah. And don't get me starting about bloody potholes. Bloody damn disgrace.